Tonight's shiur, Parshas Re'eh. Seder begins, Re'eh Anochi Nosen Lifnechem Hayom Bracha Klala. Many of the Mefarshim ask the question, why is it that the Pasuk starts off in the singular, Re'eh Anochi, Re'eh singular, Nosen Lifnechem is plural. It should be Re'eh Anochi Nosen Lifanecha, or Re'u Anochi nosen lifnechem. Why the re'ei and lifnechem? A number of answers. I'd like to share with you what Rav Daniel Ochayun writes in his Sefer Or Daniel, in the name of Rav Chaim Vermeiza. He says that even though it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the brachas, the klalas, to everybody, the whole Am, lifnechem, in plural, however, everybody, every individual has to realize that he himself is chashuv. So think, okay, part of the klal is one part of the many, you know, the big klal over there. So I'm a nothing, I'm this one little part. No, yes, there's a big klal out there, but every individual in the klal is also very, very chashuv. There was a mice of a darshan that he was invited by the gabbai of a shul to give a drasha one night after Marv. So all the preparations were made, and this Rav came to the shul, and Davin Marav was a nice tzibur there, nice size tzibur. But then, right after the Marav was over, everybody started slipping away, and that was it. Everybody left, and it was only the gabbai and one other guy. So the gabbai started, you know, turning colors. He was all embarrassed. You know, here he invited the speaker, and everybody's gone. And he realized what happened. He actually made a mistake, because that night, one of the people in the congregation was marrying off their kid, so everybody's going to the chasana. So he sheepishly went over to the darshan and said, Slicha, Rav, you know, I really apologize. It was my mistake. I totally didn't realize there was a chasana tonight, and everybody's gone to the chasana, and nobody's here, so, except for this one other guy and me. So the darshan says, it's okay, no problem. And he gets up there and say to drasha. Here you have the shul, the gabbai, and there's one other guy sitting there, and he's giving the drasha. And not only is he giving the drasha, he gives it with all the excitement and fire, he slavas and screaming and yelling as if there was a tzibur of 1,000 people. So after the drasha was over, the gabbai said, you know, excellent drasha, but I don't understand. There was only like two people, you know, me and this other guy. Why was the Rav, you know, giving this drasha with so much excitement? So what did he answer? He says, tell me, he says, if an ambulance is coming to pick up just one person, isn't he going to have the lights on and the siren and everything going, flashing and all the excitement? Ah, he's only going for one person. So, it save a life. You have the siren, the lights, all the excitement for one life. So here, I can, who knows, my words can save the life of one yid, help one yid, two, you know. It's worth it. Worth all the excitement. Says in the Pasuk, V'ibadetem et shemam mina makomahu lo sasun kein l'Hashem elokeichem. So Rashi brings down, from the beginning of the Pasuk, V'nitatzdem et mizbechosam, V'ibadetem et shemam lo tasun kein. Here's a warning, Azhara l'mochek es Hashem, l'nosetz even mina mizbeach o mina hazara. So you're not allowed to break off a piece of the mizbeach, the stones of the mizbeach, or the hazara. It's a lav, negative commandment. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita mentions a shocking maysa. There was once from El Al, some of the higher authorities in the company. They one of the people there, their wife was very, very ill. And the doctors didn't know what to do anymore. It was very, very, very serious. So his friends in the airline, you know, also these high ranking, you know, officials in the airline. So they wanted to help him out. So they went to a quote unquote makubal, you know, those that are makabel, you know, they receive, you know, money, but don't do too much more than that. Anyway, so what did this quote-unquote Makubal tell them to do? Said they should go to the Kosel, Amaravi, and take off a piece of the Kosel, like break off a piece of the rock, and put it under this woman's head, under her pillow, and then she should have refuah shleima. Okay, so they did so. They went in the middle of the night, and they chipped off a piece of the Kosel, and they sent it to this man, you know, the husband, and the husband put it under his wife's pillow. Well, what happened? Not only did this woman not get better, but soon after she was nifter. And not only that, all these all the friends over here which tried to help this woman by breaking off the kosel, they all had terrible tsaras started happening to them. So they came to Reb Zilberstein and they said, well, what should we do? You know. So he told them, first of all, you have to take some crazy glue and go back to the kosel, and you got to glue that. You have to put that piece back where it came from. He told them that this is what Rashi's talking about. It's an isser in the Torah that lo tasun kein l'Hashem elokeichem. You're not allowed to, as it says, or it's an azar and notates evan min azara. You're not allowed to break off from the azar. Not to break off some rock and transgress this avera. And this is what happened. And if you want the tzaras to stop happening, then first things first, you have to return what you stole. That's number one. Number two, he says, I'm going to ask my father-in-law, Rav Yashiv, now Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and see what he has to say. So he went to Rav Yashiv, and he said, as a kapara, besides returning the rock, but they should have a Sefer Torah written and donate it to a shul. And in that, by showing kavod to the, you know, to shul, donating a Sefer Torah, that should be a kapara for their lack of kavod for the Makom HaMikdash. That was his advice. So we see from here how serious this is. He wants us to extend it a little bit more. And he said it's something to nogeatas also. I mean, we might not be chomping away at the kosel, but says even in the furniture of a shul and Beis Medrash, is there a makom kodesh, a mikdash me'at? It's like a little Beis Mikdash. And sometimes people sitting there, they're either scribbling on the tables or they're picking at the you know, the wood from the furniture, you know, the you know, picking at it or whatever when they're bored, things like that. And he said that's included in this broad issur of you know, taking away things from Mekomos HaKadoshim. So you have to be very careful before you start playing around with the furniture in the Beis Medrash and Beis Knesses. Next, it says in the Pasuk, Shemor v'shamata. And this is L'manita v'lachal v'anecha acharecha adolam. You should be careful and guard and listen to the mitzvahs, in order you should have length of days, you and your children, etc. There's a very interesting balaturim on those words, shemor v'shamata, or guard and keep. He says the following. This is a quote, the balaturim. He says, ein bur yirechet v'lo arma aretz chasid, quote unquote. It's a Mishnah from Pirkei Avos, that bur is can't be a yirechet. So what does he mean? What's the connection? So the Rebbe, the Admor Mibavov, Rebbe Tzion Halberstam Zatzel, he explained it with the following way. He says it's referring to Chinuch HaYiladim, as it says in the end of the Pasuk, L'man Yitav L'cha U'Levanecha Acharecha. And what's the lesson here in Chinuch? So he says that we have this concept of where do we see the concept of boor, by a field, a sade boor. Gemara talks about what's a sade boor, and literally a fallow field. That sometimes, if you want to make the field produce, you know, properly, so you can't work it constantly because then it tires out the field. So what people do, they work it for 1 year, plant and harvest it, and then they let it go fallow for a year. And then they work it the year after that, off and on. And therefore it has a chance to rest. That's what's called a sadeh bur. Sadeh is rest. So he says that this is what the Baal Turim is trying to teach us. It's, he says on his pasuk, Shamor v'shamata v'chule, if you want to then, l'manita v'lachalavanecha, to have good chinuch for your children, the parents already have to be careful to that they should, that ain bur yirachay, there shouldn't be a bur. What's a bur? We said, when you don't work constantly, one year on, one year off. So a person when he's in his avodas Hashem can't be a boor, can't be on and off, has to be constant, consistent. Not here and there, okay, very stark, you know, working very hard in your Yiddish guy, learning very good for, and then you take a break for, you know, Baina's money, then you come back again, and then you take a break. This is not good. It has to be constant and consistent. The famous vort from everybody says by Rabbi Akiva, right, when he went out to learn for 12 years, he left his wife and went out to learn for 12 years and came back with 12,000 Talmidim, and he came to see his wife after having seen her for 12 years, and then he overheard her talking to the neighbor, and the neighbor saying, how can you be with like that, live like this, your husband's away for 12 years, you don't see him. So she said, if he would listen to me, I would tell him to go for another 12 years. So Rabbi Akiva heard this and turned around and went back. And that's it. And he came back after another 12 years with 24,000 Talmidim. So they ask, tells the Rashiva, asks others, says, why? Fine, he came back after 12 years. He overheard his wife turn. Why didn't he at least go in and say hello? You know, coming for a cup of coffee. I mean, he's been gone for 12 years, so at least say hi and say, okay, you know, I heard you'd like me to go. I'd like to go for another 12 years, you know, and fine. She would say, okay. So at least come in and say hi. You came all, what, turn around and go back. So they say, what do we see from here? That 12 and 12 isn't 24. In other words, to go for 12 years, take a break, and another 12 years, not the same as 24 straight years. The break, this, not the same. I like to give the mashal, it's like a microwave. Whoever has a microwave realizes, let's say you put something in to cook, okay, and you put it in for, let's say, 10 minutes, something, or let's say, for a lot, say 5 minutes, a potato, raw potato, you want it baked, right? You put it in for 5 minutes, okay, and it'll get baked. If you put it in for 2.5 minutes, and then the microwave shuts off, and you put it in for another 2 hours, it's not going to come out baked. It's going to need longer. Why? You had an interruption. 5 straight minutes is not like 2.5, but 2.5 minutes. So the same idea comes when Avodas Hashem, right? Straight, non-stop, is you can't compare than taking a break in between. Anyways, as we learn from a Sadeh Bur, says the Bavavar Rebbe, and that's what the Baal Turim is telling us over here, that Ein Bur Yerechat Shamor V'Shamata, you have to be careful in your Avodas Hashem. If you want to have L'man Yitav L'chul L'chal V'necha, then you have to be a Ein Bur Yerechat. You want to be a Yerechat, it can't be Ein Bur, you can't take these breaks. It has to be, you have to be consistent and constant, then you can hope, Bezrat Hashem, to have good kids that follow in your path. Once the Magid Midubna came to a rich man who was a big miser, Kamtsan, and he wanted to get a donation from him. So the rich man, stories, didn't want to get. Finally, after nagging him, he said, "Fine, okay, Rabbi, I'll give it to you, but one second, only under one condition." He says, "What?" "So I'm going to ask you a quiz. If you can answer me right, then I'll give you the money. If not, not." So Mike Medina says, "Fine. What's the question?" So he says, "Where do we find in the Torah one word that has in it 4 kamatzes, one after the other?" Right, the vowel, the kamatz. Okay, the 4 kamatzes in one word. Where do we find it in the Torah? So right on the spot, the Magi Miduno says, in Parshas Re'eh, talks about the different types of unkosher birds. One of it, it says, Ve'es ha-ra-ha-ra-cha-ma. Ha, with the kamatz, ra-cha-ma. Ha-ra-cha-ma. It's one of the birds. It has 4 kamatzes, one after the other. So the rich man's like, oh, you got it, Rabbi. Oh, no. So he says, okay, fine, here, take the money, and he gives him. But he says, but one second, Rabbi, just do me a favor, okay? Just keep the answer to yourself, because I want to use it, use it for other people, you know. So keep it to yourself, okay, Rabbi? So the Magen Meduna says, fine, but do you mind if I ask you a riddle? You know, you ask me, can I ask you a riddle? Sir? Yeah, go ahead. Sure, Rabbi, go ahead. He says, okay, fine. He says, you ask me, where do we find one with four kamatzes? Where do we find a word that has four patachs in it, in the Torah? So the rich man says, you got me on that one, Rabbi. I have no idea. Four kamatzes, four patachs, I don't know. So he says, yeah, in the klalos, it says, v'es ha-ka-dachas. Ha-ka-da-chas. Four patachs in a row. So that's one of the clothes, one of the diseases, the kadachas. So the Magen Meduna says, it's ha-ka-da-chas, right? Four patachs in a row. And he says, and you also, referring to his disease, right? So he says to the rich man, and now you also keep it to yourself. Get the picture. Yeah. Says in the pasuk, Aiser Taiser. Aser te aser es kol to us is arecha. The mitzvah to give meiser from one's tefuah. He has to give 2% of his tefuah to the kohen and 10% to the levi and another 10% meiser sheni, meiser ani, etc. There's a person after giving all this, you know, money or tefuah away, so to speak, person might think, you know, what's going to be? What's going to be with me? We have to give all this money away. So we tell him, don't worry, lefech, it's going to bring you mazal. It's going to bring you mazal if you give tzedakah. So where do you see that? You find it in the hinted to in the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Aiser taiser, meaning aser means to meiser, right? Take 10%. Aser taaser, take 10% of taaser. What does that mean? How do you spell taaser? Taf ayin shin resh. So aser aser, take 10% of this word. So taf is what? The first letter taf is 400. 10% is 40 mem. Next letter is ayin, which is 70. 10% is 7, which is the letter zayin. Next is resh, which is 200. 10% is 20, which is do we skip what? Yeah, we skip shin. Shin is 300. 10% is 30, which is the letter lamed. And the last letter resh is 200. 10% is 20, which is the letter kaf. So if you take in that order, mamash in that order, the letters we came out with, mem, zayin, lamed, chaf, spells mazalcha, your mazal. So if you're aser to taaser, you take meiser from taaser, you end up with mazalcha, your mazal. So a person shouldn't think, oh, what's going to be? Lafech, if you take meiser properly, you'll have a lot of mazal. Be'ezrat Hashem. Further in the mitzvah tzedakah, it says day machzer asher yechzer lo, that the person when he's giving tzedakah, he has to help the needy person and give whatever he needs, whatever he's lacking. And Rashi says, what is it referred to specifically? Zu isha, even a wife. Sometimes you have to help, you know, find a shidduch for somebody. That's also a big chesed, big tzedakah. It's a interesting maisa with Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer. So it shows his sensitivity to others, in this case when it comes to Shiduchim. So what happened? Once Rav Isser Zalman was giving shir in Yeshivas Eitz Chaim, which was where he was Rebbe, and he's giving the shir as he did many, many times. And one of the Bachurim was someone who was very, very quiet. He wasn't, you know, outstanding, one of the outstanding Bachurim, by no sense of any words. But he was, he'd just sit there quietly. Never really opened his mouth or said anything. So one day in Shir, Rav Isser Zalman was giving a Shir, the this bacher stands up and he says, "But Rebbe, the Sfas Emes doesn't learn like this. What you're saying, you know, the Sfas Emes doesn't learn like the Rebbe saying." So everybody's like shocked because this bacher never says it. You know, here he gets up and says, "Rebbe, Sfas Emes doesn't say it like this." So what was his reaction? Rebbe Zalman said, "Oh, really? Oh, you know, I really should stop my shir then. I mean, really, if you're right, you know, like you're saying, this Sfas Emes says differently, okay, I should really stop my shir because I shouldn't be allowed to continue because I'm learning different. And if Sfas Emes is different, I don't have any right to continue." But he said, "Listen, I really spent a lot of time preparing this shir. And if I have to stop here, you know, could you do me a favor and do me a chesed and just let me anyway say what I thought, even though it's not the Sfas Emes, you know, he disagrees with me, but just because I worked a lot in the shir, it would be okay. Just can you do me a chesed, let me finish the shir." And he said, "Fine," and he finished the shir. So some of the Bachurim were like, "See, that's weird. He never says something like that." You know, maximum if somebody would come up with a comment like that and said somebody else learns differently, the best case scenario is the Mr. Zalman would say, "Fine, he learns his way, I learn my way." You know, that's what he would say. But the way he commented, is something sounded fishy over here. Okay, so you're finished. And a couple of Avreichim, whatever, were walking him back and home, and they asked him, what's going on? The Rebbe, you know, acted very strange, really, this Bachra. So he explained. He said, "Listen." He said, "I was giving the shir, you say, I noticed this one of the businessmen of town, Yerushalayim, wealthy businessman, was like poking his head in and listening into the shir a little bit. It was very strange because he doesn't usually come, you know, listen to my shir. But I know it was in the corner of my eye. I noticed this businessman there." Okay. And then what happens? This bacher, as we mentioned, he asked this question, and which was strange also in and of itself, because as we said before, he doesn't usually ask questions. And here he's coming, so I figured, perhaps, putting two and two together, that maybe this bacher is, you know, going on shiduchim, and this, he was suggested for the daughter of this businessman. And this businessman came to, you know, see and get a feel, maybe, you know, of who this bacher is, if he's worth anything. So this bacher wanted to, you know, impress. He saw his, perhaps, you know, future father-in-law standing there, and he wanted to impress him. So that's why he got up and said, "Oh, Sfas Emes learned like that," even though he, you know, perhaps didn't, you know. And the Avreichim said, "Yeah, you know, as a matter of fact," they said, "after the shir, we checked the Sfas Emes, and he said, like you, Rebbe, he wasn't even right." He said, "Exactly." He says, I assume that he probably just wanted to say something to impress this businessman, you know, because of his shidduch. And therefore I commented the way I did, and you know, I wanted to make him look good. And, you know, instead of saying, "Oh, you know, I learned different," I said, "Oh, good kasha, okay, Sfas Emes, I should stop the shit," whatever, to make this bacher look good in the eyes of this businessman. So, you know, give him a chance for the shidduch. So again, he said, "I don't know. I can't. This is just all what I was going through my mind during the shir, and could be I'm right, could be I'm not." What happens? A week or two later, they announce the engagement between the daughter of this businessman and this bacher. So he hit the nail right on the head. Shows this tremendous sensitivity and instantaneous sensitivity right on the spot. He put the two and two together and wanted to help out this bacher and did what he did. Finally, we'll share with you one last story for today. It says also, we're speaking about tzedakah, that one important thing when it comes to giving tzedakah is a person has to be careful when possible, not always possible, but also again to be sensitive to the one receiving the tzedakah. It's not a pleasant feeling to be the recipient of tzedakah, and so a godless is somebody that can give a person something without making them feel bad. So I share it with you a beautiful maisa. said over by Rabbi Nissim Tshuva. He said the following. There was once a Yid that was a plumber by profession here in Eretz Yisrael. And one day he gets a call from this woman and says, I have problems with plumbing, I don't know what it is. So he said, fine. So he comes over and he checks out the problem exactly, and he saw it wasn't just like, you know, a leaky faucet thing. He saw it was a major, major problem over here, which needs a lot of like work, and with the whole sewage system, it's a whole big job. It's a whole full day's work and very, very expensive, you know, costly thing, because it's, you know, big, big job. But it had to be done. It's a you know, major thing. So fine. The woman says, you know, please, you know, can you do it? Because I can't, you know, function like this. He says, of course. And he proceeds to do the whole job. He noticed though that this woman was an almana. She was a widow. She had, you know, never a husband anymore, and she had a few little kids or whatever. And saw that she had no means, and he didn't, like, how, no way is this woman going to be able to pay for this, you know. So he decided to take upon himself to do the whole job, staka, right? Not to take any money from her. But like we said, how do you do that without making her feel very uncomfortable? So this is what did he do? At the end of the day, he finished the whole job. Everything was good, running smooth. So the woman said, you know, hard for even say the word, but how much exactly is this going to cost? So he said, nothing. Nothing. So, what do you mean nothing? What do you mean nothing? You worked the whole day. He says, what do you mean nothing? She says, yeah, I'm going to get paid, but it's not, you don't have to pay me. The city, the area is paying. He says, the city? He says, well, what was the city? He says, yeah, the city decided they have this project. Of course, he made this whole thing up, right? Having this project to these old, you know, housing and stuff to help fix up all the old housing in the city. So they have this, you know, thing where they hire the people that do the jobs, and then they fix it up and they pay for it and help to improve the look of the city. And since it's an old building, so it's the area is going to pay me. So I just give them the bill and they pay me. So she's like, oh, wow, what a relief. You know, I was wondering how I'm going to pay for all this. The city's paying for it. Wow, that's unbelievable. Thank you so much. And I'm glad to hear that. Happy. He says, no problem, lady. Whatever. So she left with a good feeling. She thought, you know, the city's paying for this whole big job. And he did this tremendous mitzvah tzedaka. Well, the story doesn't end here. 20 years later, by now, this businessman that says Aser Taiser, we said before that by giving the Chazal say if Aser Kadesha Titasher. So Kanai Ahura, this plumber, did very well for himself, and he decided to build himself a nice big villa, a nice big house. So he has bought a plot in the Ramat Gan area. And a plot of land, and so he himself, you know, knows how to build, so he's going to be his own contractor and, you know, build this house. So after he got all the plans and everything, next thing he had to make an order of all the building supplies. So it's a big expense, it's not a couple of shekels. So he went to two or three places to get priced estimates, you know. So he had a whole list of materials, blocks, this, that, cement, whatever it is, a whole big list. And he went to two or three places. Okay. So one day, all of a sudden, he sees the land there that he purchased. He's looking at checking it out, whatever. And this huge truck comes, and it says on it, Kvitzuri. This is a building, like a building supplies company in Bnei Brak, which is one of the places he did visit to get a price estimate, which he got. So this big, huge truck pulls out from Itzik and Tzuri, and the driver gets out, and he starts unloading all the stuff. So our plumber over here is looking at this. What is going on? I never ordered this. I got a price estimate. I never ordered from them. And they unload the whole truck. And he's like, what's going on? So he goes over to the driver and says, what did you do? He says, what do you mean what I do? He says, what do you do? Why did you unload all the stuff here? He says, I don't know. It says here, I have an order, and this is this plot, you know, area number so and so. He goes, yeah. And okay, look, I said I have to deliver. So he says, listen, I didn't order any of this. I got a price estimate a few days ago, but that was it. I never made any order, so I'll take everything back. He says, you can't make me take everything back. I can't do that. I'm going to get fired. Boss is going to kill me. I didn't order. I have to deliver it. I can't go bring the things back. He said, if you have any problems, just go to the store and then deal with them. But don't get me involved. I'm just doing my job, you know. So he's like, oh, he's all upset. He goes, I'll waste his time now and go to the store. So he hops in his car, drives to B'nai Brak, and he goes to this, it's a concern. He goes in steaming. He goes into the door, and he goes up to the, you know, the woman working there behind the desk. He goes, what's the meaning of this? She goes, what's wrong, sir? He says, what do you mean, what's wrong, sir? Well, you guys are incompetent. He says, what's wrong? He says, yeah, you delivered this whole big order to my, you know, where I'm going to be building my area there, and I didn't order. I came for a price. I didn't order all this stuff. What are you doing? She goes, 1 second, don't scream. Let's just go look and let me check in the computer. So she types the computer thing. He says, yeah, here it is, the whole order form, and it's paid. It was paid for, and therefore it was delivered. He says, what do you mean paid? Didn't pay. I didn't pay. I didn't pay anything. And it's a paid one. You know, what do you? He says, yeah, I know you guys paid. You know, you're right, it's paid, and then I get a thing that I didn't pay, and then I have to go to court, and the whole big thing. I know you people. Forget it. And I'm gonna take you to Basin and whatever. She says, okay, listen. She says, I'm just working here. You want us to go speak to the boss? Go speak to the boss. He's upstairs. Tsuri, you know, one of the partners, he's upstairs. So he steams up there, goes up to the thing, says, where's Tsuri? He says, me. He says, he starts screaming at him. He says, what is this? What's the meaning of this? And then so he goes, 1 sec, don't scream. Let me check. So he goes into the computer, sees the order. He says, everything's paid. What do you mean again? What do you mean everything's paid? Nothing's paid. And he goes, yes, sir, it's paid. He says, what do you mean? Who paid? What do you mean who paid? Who paid? I didn't pay anything. He says, yeah, you didn't pay. The city paid, the area. He says, what? What do you mean area? What do you mean area? The city doesn't pay for a private person who wants to build a house. What do you mean? So he said, excuse me. He says, 20 years ago, right, my mother had a plumbing problem in her house, and you came and fixed it. And you worked the whole day fixing the plumbing in my mother's house. And when she asked you how much it cost, you said nothing, because the city's paying for it. I said, that was my mother. And I knew that there's no such thing. I knew you just did a tzedaka, and you wanted to help out my poor mother. And when I was little, it was 20 years ago, and I kept it. I remembered, and I'm going to say, one day I'm going to pay you back. I didn't know how, what, when, but one day I'm going to pay you back. And here, finally, 20 years later, you walk into my store and you take this order, and here he is. Now I'm going to get him back. So, yes, all the billing products are paid by the quote-unquote area. So one has to be careful and sensitive, giving tzedakah. Shall be zoiche to all the brachas that giving tzedakah brings. And bikur the bracha of Bias Gol Tzedek, you hear me, Aminu, Amen.